Blog Talk Radio.
There's another one for Israel. Do you know who you are?
If I had the chance to show you
is gathering Israel.
All right, family. Shalom, shalom. Shabbat shalom and welcome. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, as well as your host, Georgia Johnson. Family, today is the 5th of August, 2011. Today we're going to be doing a special show called Stars of Heaven. And particularly, I have a new one in my family. His name is Zaire L. Johnson. Family, we're going to get into a personal testimony that I have to give about him. But before we do that, I want to bring some things to the forefront. Now, we know if we look in the scriptures, what is being taught today is today concerning the seed and so forth has been distorted in the world we live in today. The true meaning of what the Father is speaking of concerning the seed and the blessings with the seed is quite different from what we're being taught today. So I want to take a look at that now. We're going to... particularly, this show will consist of overlooked or, shall I say, forgotten information that has caused our people to err concerning the understanding of the Hebrew seed blessings. So what I'm going to do today is we're also going to be looking at biblical history and modern-day prophecy, philosophies and traditions of men concerning population control and the destruction of the Hebrews. Now, I wanted to go through a lot of different things with you guys today. I've actually wanted to do this show for probably close to a year now. Well, now I have the opportunity to do that because this has been something that has been on my mind, and this is something that I think that we need to really speak upon. Now, many people don't consider twice the thought of how it is a blessing to conceive. That the thought of conceiving, they don't even consider that a blessing, and a very special blessing, because some people can't, you know, and there's a reason why these people can't, but that thought isn't even given to our thought process anymore. The thought of Yahuwah stating this blessing to our nation, you know, specifically to our nation. And it means more when you know that you're a Hebrew, but this is one of the blessings that have been given to our nation. Throughout the Bible, we always hear about this blessing, evident of this blessing. Even today, we see this blessing. Okay, the Hebrews are blessed through the seed line. Now, I want to go through a couple verses with you guys, and I want to show you in Scripture where our Father, he's telling us, over and over and over and over again, regardless if this world tells you that if you become pregnant, oh, unmarried, that's a curse. No. See, the Father won't, he will either close the womb up or he will open the womb up. This is what he will do. If you are getting blessed, your womb is going to open. If your womb is not supposed to open by him, it's not going to open. And we're going to show you just that in the scriptures. So first, let me see. Before I go any further, family, let's see. I want to bring on Sister Venus really quick. Shalom, Sister Venus.
Shabbat shalom, Georgia. Shabbat shalom, family. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Okay. I'm so happy to have you with me. I got Sister Venus, you guys, at the last minute. But as always, I'm always glad to have her with me. Now, I'm going to have you leave your mic open right now, but we're going to be going into a couple Bible verses here that I want to share with the family. And family, I'm going to go ahead and give you a post of where I'm reading. Well, no, I can't because it's all on one. Hey, all you got to do is open up your Bibles, okay, because I have it all on my Blog Talk notes. But I just want to go through a couple things with you guys, and then I do have some MP3s because I do believe in letting the guilty party speak. I do believe in that. So that it can't be said, oh, Georgia's prejudiced, Georgia's saying this. No, Georgia's not saying anything. I'm going to read to you what's in Scripture, then I'm going to let them speak, okay, because I want everybody to understand this isn't something that just some so-called Hebrew Israelite is saying because we're a cult and we're trying to be racist or prejudiced. This is documented evidence And some of the stuff you're going to hear from the people themselves. And that's what's so wonderful about it. Pertaining to control population. Population control, depopulation, whatever you want to call it, you're going to hear it yourself. But before we start that, I want to go into the importance of prophecy and seed inheritance within Scripture, and I want to begin at Genesis 15. Now, I'm going to read bits and pieces from it. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. I'm going to be reading out of Genesis 15, okay? So I will be going, I will just read one and then read it. Read it so that you know where I'm going. Okay, so Genesis 15. Now remember, we're talking about the seed line, the blessing, who the blessing went to, why we have the blessing. We're going to get into a lot of information about this seed line, blessing, and prophecies that go with the blessing. So beginning at Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of Yahuwah came unto Abraham," or rather it says Abram, "in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Yahuwah, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar, of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of Yahuwah came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad, and said," now this is important, family, this is what he says, "Look towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto, Abraham said to the Most, it just says, and he said unto him, I'm going to leave it alone, "So shall thy seed be." So the Most High is speaking to Abraham, and he told Abraham to look now towards the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." So he's letting you know, in reference to the stars, if you can count how many stars there are, that's how many, that's how great your seed, your children that's going to come out of you. You know, Abraham was the father of many nations, but we're talking about his seed. Okay, they're going to be as many as the stars in the heaven. And we're talking about the Hebrews, okay? We're talking about the Hebrews here. So in verse 8 it says, and the Most High said, or in Abraham said, "Yahuwah, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Verse 12, "When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled." Okay, I'm reading out of verse 16. Now, first of all, I'm reading this just so you can know what period we're in. Abraham is getting the understanding from the Most High that his seed will be many. If you can name the stars in the heaven, Abraham, that's how many children you're going to have out of your loins, out of your seed. Okay? Now, in verse, we already went through, know for a surety that your seed will be serving in a strange land and so forth. We went through those verses already. We went through the prophecy speaking of the 400 years while we were going to be in servitude, or in serving our enemy, basically. And the Most High said he's going to judge them at the end of the 400 years. And for those who are new, we're talking about the Hebrews. In 1619, we came into bondage in America, the tribe of Judah, and it's almost 400 years. Okay, and we're serving in a strange land that's not ours, And we're going to be serving these people. We started off by slavery. We're still doing it now because we're working for slave wages and getting bare minimal. And we give so much. So the same thing's still going on today. And it says they're going to be afflicting us for 400 years. And the affliction is still going on. Just because someone doesn't give you a blow with a whip doesn't mean you're not getting afflicted, okay? Now it says that the Most High is going to judge that nation who's doing that to his children, the apple of his eye, remember. But he tells us in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, the same people who are doing this, same entities, I will say. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. We know that the Amorites, the serpent seed, they have all blended in with Edom. And they have also blended in with the Africans. They spread their seed everywhere. I'll just make it easy. They spread their seed everywhere. So it says, verse 18, in the same day Yahuwah made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. And he was talking about the promised land. He says, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He's talking about the promised land. So I just wanted to show you guys right there in Genesis 15, those verses right there do say a lot, and there's way more that I've covered in my last two shows, and I'm going to finish it up, the Joel series, Understanding the Book of Joel, where we went into a lot of these verses already. So actually, all these verses are these shows we're doing are kind of going hand in hand. But for today's show, we're going to be talking about that seed, because many of us don't have the understanding that it's always a blessing if that womb opens up. If the womb opens up, it's a blessing. And the blessing was given to the Hebrews. It doesn't say that he would bless Edom or anybody else with children or thy seed, that progeny, their fruit of the womb, whatever you want to call it, as the sands of the sea, the stars of the heaven. That was only given to the Hebrew Israelites. So, Sister Venus, did you want to add anything before I go any further?
I'm still here. I was looking for that scripture, but no, go ahead, and whenever we get an opportunity, I'll share some things with the family.
All right. Family, we're going to go on. I want to just give you a couple more. Now, Yahuwah's blessing to Abraham. I kind of want to break it down with the fathers, our forefathers, and so you can get those blessings. And I'm speaking of the seed, okay? Today's show is just speaking of the seed because we're going to go into some other information that needs to be brought forward. Yahuwah's blessing to Abraham. If you go to Genesis 13:16, it simply tells you, now he says to him, and I will make thy seed, speaking to Abraham, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, and I think about it, man, the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now, we know nobody can number the dust, the dirt. You know, that's impossible. But he says that that's what he's going to number Abraham's children. So then it tells us, if we go to Genesis 22:17-18, blessings after the test of Abraham's burnt offering of his son Isaac. Remember his son, his only son? Okay, he was given some blessings at this portion in Genesis 22:17-18. I'm just going to read that for you so you can hear the blessing there. Okay, it reads, beginning in verse 17 of Genesis 22, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, it's really funny, but unless you know who the true people are, you don't even know if you're getting blessed by who. Who are you getting blessed by? That's something to think about. It says, I'm going to read verse 16 again, or 18, I'm sorry, of Genesis 22. It reads, and in thy seed, speaking of Abraham, and in thy seed, we're speaking of the called seed here, shall the nations, all the other Gentiles upon the earth, it says, all the nations of the earth be blessed through his seed. Who are his seed? Well, there's 12 tribes which are scattered all over the world, which are not recognized by this world. But that's where all the nations are supposed to get blessed through. It says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because Abraham obeyed the Most High's voice. So I find it funny that when you bring forth biblical scripture, many people don't still want to know who the true Hebrews are. They'd rather believe a lie than get blessed. But, you know, that's what the scripture says. That's what's going to happen. So, that, you know, I just brought that one forward, too, also to make mention that we really need to know who the true people are. It's obvious who the true people are, family, because all we have to do is look around today, and I'm going to give you some information on that in a little bit. But you see that we are, the 12 tribes of Israel are numerous. We overtake the, I guess you could really say we take all the Gentiles, we overpopulate even the Gentiles, that we're that numerous. We're in every little segment of the earth there is, and there are many of us. And the reason why there's many of us, not because we're wayward and all this, because the Father said of that blessing, he said we'd be numerous. He said that. And I think that today's society intentionally has taught you that, oh, she's only this age and she's pregnant. She needs to go get abortion. They make the young girl, the young boy feel inadequate, and they go and get these abortions, which is what it's all about anyhow, because they've been trying to kill us off. But really, they haven't looked at what Scripture says. Scripture, we already prophesied through these blessings to be numerous as the stars in the heaven, the dust of the earth, and the sands of the sea. And I want to bring that information forward, and I'm really hoping that if you're in college and you're listening to this message, in high school listening to this message, before the message is all said and done, I'm hoping that we're going to give you enough information within Scripture so you can see where it is a blessing if your womb has been opened. And it should not be taken to abort a baby or anything like that, okay, because every child is a blessing to the Most High. He gave us that blessing, and this world is trying to destroy his blessing. And that's probably the easiest way for me to say that part. Now I'm going to go on with another blessing, which was for Isaac. Now we see in Genesis 26, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. Here is the blessing for Isaac. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And you see, family, we can go in the Bible, and I'm only going to pick out a few spots here and there. I'm trying to get basically the major forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to give you those blessings, but you can read about in other books where certain people were blessed with seed. I mean, I'd be going with individual cases, but they're still in the Hebrew lineage is what I'm speaking of. So I just want to share that because I think that our society has really pulled the wool over our eyes. Some of us are waking up to who we are. We're understanding how we have been tricked in society on many different traditions of men and false teachings, evil doings we've been taught. But we're trying to put a correction to some of these false thinkings, false ideologies, theologies, and laws that are out there because some of these laws are plain satanic. You know, I played for you guys on another show where Obama was saying that you can abort a full-term pregnancy. woman's choice. You know, I don't think our father said anything about that. So I don't want to get off course here. Let me continue. Now, I want to read to you guys Jacob's ladder. Okay, and this is going to be taken out of Genesis 28. I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 16. So if you have your Bibles at home, open them up, okay? Now, once again, this is Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. I'll be reading verses 10 through 16 real quick for you. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted up, on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of Yahuwah ascending and descending on it. And behold, Yahuwah stood above it and said, I am Yahuwah, your father, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, the seed that is supposed to be numerous as the stars of heaven. In verse 14 it says, and thy seed, Jacob, Most High speaking to Jacob here, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are you hearing it? I mean, it's said differently, but it's the same thing. This is a blessing. And we kind of like read over it in the Bible, and we don't give it really much thought. But this is, family, this is blessings. We have many blessings, promises, so forth from our Father throughout the Scriptures. And when we stop and think for a second, why would any of us, with the knowledge that we're Hebrews, do anything else but accept the gift that the Father has given us and thank Him for it? And it just gets down to that. Let me go a little bit further. And behold, I'm reading out of verse 15, okay, of Jacob's ladder. Okay, it says, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken thee of. Now, family, we know that this is particularly talking about Jacob, but Jacob's seed he's speaking of. We know that we are going to get back into our land. We know that that is a promise, just like it's a promise for the multiplying of our seed all over the four corners of the earth. This is but not by some chance that our people, and I'm speaking of the 12 tribes, we are as numerous as the sands of the sea. It's no by chance that anything happens. See, Hebrews don't believe in luck. If you look up that word luck, it has, that's just totally occult. But we believe in what our Father says within the Scripture. If He says He's going to multiply us, He's going to multiply us. If He says that we're going to be multiplied all over the earth, that is what we're seeing today, and it's happening. When we see that He tells us He's going to gather us back into our land that He promised our forefathers, that will happen. All these things are in Scripture, family. Also, let me just go a little bit further. Genesis 35, verse 10 through 12. I'm going to read it for you. And Yahuwah said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And Yahuwah said unto him, I am Yahuwah. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Now, we know that this basically already happened. We know that the seed is still being produced today, but what he's talking about here, he said a nation and a company of nations. He had 12 sons, okay? And he also had other Well, there's more to it. I don't want to get too deep into it, but what I'm talking about is out of Israel, and remember, we're not talking about a piece of land like the Jews do. We're not talking about that mess. We're talking about Israel, Jacob, same one, synonymous. The name was changed. We're talking about Jacob's 12 sons, the seed line of Jacob, of the 12 tribes all over the world. They will inherit what Abraham, what Isaac, and what Jacob was promised. So we're going to go a little further. Let's see. Before I go any further, I'm going to bring Sister Venus on. Sister Venus, you want to add anything at this point?
I'm just going to say basically, I know it's very important for us to know this. Like you said earlier, Georgia, the world has been teaching us that it's bad to have a child. It's a burden. I know I've heard it. You know, my mother's issue has always been in the past. You know, don't have any kids now because they were more concerned about the shame, you know, of being a young girl having a child. You know, which I think a lot of Hebrews or those who don't know that they're Hebrew, a lot of them are caught up in that, or they teach their children that you shouldn't have a child to live your life. And I've always taken I'm live your life, not that I'm adult, means to sleep around and just be careful. And it's not a burden, it's a blessing. I remember having my son, and I think I was 23 years old at the time. So when he came, this beautiful child, he was such a blessing. The father gave me a wonderful, easy, very easy pregnancy, natural childbirth, and I don't regret it. The only thing I probably did regret is that maybe, you know, having more closer to him now that he's older. But that's what the world teaches us. Go out there and have fun. You know, pretty much go to the club, drink, you know, have these illicit sex acts, because that's what it comes down to. You know, without being responsible, you know, and to me, that's slavery in of itself, because you're doing all of this. You're a slave. You're allowing yourself to be a slave to someone who just wants to use your body, whether it be a man or a woman. You know, so we don't want to do as they do, and that's why right now it's pretty much a genocide against the Hebrews, because there are so many of us in comparison to them that, you know, we're talking about a species becoming extinct, if you want to put it that way, endangered species, if that's what they call it, you know. I mean, it's very outrageous, but it's very true. I mean, we got Planned Parenthood in every neighborhood. You can't get any funding to really help as Hebrews in the community unless you have Planned Parenthood, unless they make it necessary to let you know abortion is an option, to take your baby. But anything that grows is alive. You know, so basically, you're killing a living child. You know, if the heart is beating at about 8 days after conception, or I mean, it's wild. You know, so don't do as the heathen do. Forget about what they say. You know, it is a blessing, because there's a lot of people who are not able to have children, and they want children so much. They're such a blessing. And there's so many scriptures that the scriptures talk about that in regards to children, that we should be as little children. They're very important.
Sister Venus?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm just making sure. What Sister Rita said is true, family. It is so true. Family, I'm going to take callers in a little bit, but I want to go through a little bit more information. And then there's just so much to go on in on this, and I want to share with you some information that you may be aware of and you may not be aware of. Now, I'm going to go through a couple more notes here, and then I'm going to play something for you. Now, Sister Venus, could you do me a favor? Now, I normally would not ask you to read, but I don't know why I'm getting violently sick right now. Could you open your book to Genesis 20 and read that for me, please?
Okay.
And family, if you have a Bible at home, do the same. I'm just, for some reason, I got really sick. So if Sister Venus, do you have a Bible, Sister Venus?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on it.
Okay,
right
do
now.
Me a favor and read that for me. Family, if you have a Bible at home, I urge you to open it up. We're going to read of a case where the Most High will show you his power and how he closed up a womb, okay, and how he can open up a womb. You know, sometimes if he opens that womb up, that's a blessing. But if he closes it up, there's a reason for him doing that. So let me know when you got Genesis 20 up.
I'm there right now.
Okay. Could you read that, please?
Sure. You want me to start from verse 1?
Yeah, all the way, the whole chapter.
Okay. Okay. Genesis 20, starting from verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Yehovah came to Abimelech, I'm not pronouncing it right, but in a dream by night, and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech did not come near her, and he said, "Yahuwah, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She's my sister'? And she, even she herself, said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this.'" And Yahuwah said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also would help thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that shall surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? For thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of Yahuwah is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when Yahuwah caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is my kindness which thou shalt shew unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother.' And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee." And unto Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other." Thus she was reproved.
So Abraham prayed unto Yahuwah, and Yahuwah healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For Yahuwah has fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
All right. Thank you, Sister Venus. I appreciate that. Family, Sister Venus just read out of Genesis chapter 20. Now, she read it all, and I wanted her to read it all because when you get down to about verse 10, it reads, "And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" Now, you wonder, what is this thing that was done unto him, Abimelech? Now, when you get down to the last two verses, which is 17 and 18, you find out. It says, "So Abraham prayed unto Yahuwah, and Yahuwah healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant." And what happened? They bare children. He had closed up their wombs. That's what had happened. And it says, "For Yahuwah had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." And I think that a lot of us, when we read this, we fly over it, and we don't think. The Father's letting us know something. It is a blessing when that womb is open. We're going to, family, we got to know it's a blessing. It is a blessing because we are told to be as numerous as the sands of the sea. We are just that. Society today teaches us that, hey, try this birth control method. Hey, try that birth control method. And you can't read in the Bible where the Father was telling us to abort our kids. You can't read in Scripture anything even nearing that, even when the serpent seed was born, he didn't say none of that. He said, let the two grow up together, you know? So what I'm saying, because I know somebody's going to ask that question sooner or later, but yes, he said, let the two grow together. You have to go to Matthew 13 to get the understanding, and that's when it said that the enemy came in and planted his seed, which we're talking about, a literal seed, just like in Genesis 3, where it talks about, even in Genesis 3:15, that two seeds that would have enmity between them. So we understand this, that the seed is spoken of, no matter if it's bad or good, the Father made sure that it went there, because everything he would use, the vessel of honor and dishonor, to get his praise and glory, and to let everyone know who he is. So this abortion issue, you know, you have to wonder, where is all of this stuff coming from? Now, I'm going to have Sister Venus share something with you in a second, but I will tell you, I do have some information, and it's going to be in the show notes for those who are there. It's what is Depo Provera. We're going to give some information on that, birth control shots, Planned Parenthood website, and information like Ditch the Pills, all these different interesting sites that I want you guys, when you get back over to the notes about this show, additional information that I'm going to have there, look at it. You'll be shocked at some of the stuff you see. Now, what I want to do at this point, family, because I know I will go into overtime, which I always do. I'm going to answer a caller real quick before I do this. But I have a MP3 I want you guys to listen to first to give you guys an understanding of these nations that have always been against our people. And I might get, before I even go through that, I might give you some scripture telling you where that took place. I think that'd be probably more beneficial for me to do that first. And then I want to show you where we are today with some of this information. So let me go ahead and get our first caller, because they've had their hands up for quite a while, maybe by accident, I don't know. Shalom, caller 708. Hello?
Shalom.
Okay.
Once again, it must be a
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you want to say something?
No, I was asking you, but I have something to interject. From my understanding, abortion itself is human sacrificing, which the elite have practiced since the times when the elite sacrificed unto Moloch. And most abortion clinics are ran by witches. So that's why abortion, it shouldn't even be practiced amongst our hood or any hood. And plus, the abortions are put in our hood to take out the chosen seed of the Most High. That's one of the methods, the tools that the elites or Illuminati or the unholy powers use.
Okay, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and we're going to get into some of that information. I'm glad you brought that forward, but yes, that was considered, what, Moloch worshiping back in the day in the biblical times, but they're doing that stuff today. You're right. They've even gone and put it, you know, instead of trying to hide and do this stuff, they're bringing it right to the forefront. That's the kind of information we're going to get into in about a second. First, did you want to share anything else before I go any further?
No, if I do, I'll hit the button. This time, next time, it'll be on purpose, hopefully.
To you and your new grandchild. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going back and forth on my phone. My phone seemed like they're just dying out. I don't know. I couldn't hardly hear you. But thank you. Thank you. I'm going to get in that information, too, because I have a testimony to give in order to let the people know the Most High is still working his miracles. And I'm going to share that with everybody towards the end of the show. But, hey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. And if you stay with us, I'll probably bring you on in a little bit, you know, later when I start taking calls, and you can give us some more information, okay? Okay. I sure hope I'm not cutting him off. Okay, I'm going to put you on park. Put you on park, and I'm going to continue with the show real quick. All right, family, I want to just go over a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to go into some information. Now, we know that Genesis 25, we got to go there. You know, it's not a beat-up battle when we get on certain bits of information, but it seems like we especially in America, it seems like we always focus on the Caucasians, the white man. It seems like we always focus on them. It's not so much we want to focus on them, but they're all in the Bible everywhere. You know, if you make the connections, they're there. And it's not that we want to pick on anybody, and we just want to get the truth out. But in order to go to the truth, we got to go to them because they did. There was a lot of wrong done through their people. So I'm going to give you guys some information real quick in Genesis 25. I'm only going to be reading verses here, there, and there. From Genesis 25, I'm going to read 5 and 6. Then I'm going to read verse 11, verse 21, and verse 31. Now, just listen and pay attention to what's going on because this is going to get into even while we have the battle of today, what's going on with Planned Parenthood and some of these other places that are trying to destroy the Hebrews. And, yes, it is targeted for the Hebrews. We're going to prove that. Now, in Genesis 25, beginning at verse 5, it reads, you know what? I don't think I have 5 and 6 up here. Oh, I think I made a mistake with my notes. Okay, well, hold on a second. Let me see what I did with my notes. Yeah, I see what I did with my notes. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. I'll just go on. I'm going to go on with what I have here. I kind of mixed my notes up, but I'm going to be reading out of Genesis 25. Now, it says, and Abraham gave all that he... Wait a minute, I didn't even want that. Give me a second. Give me a second. I see what I did. I put in notes where they shouldn't have been. Okay, verse 21. And Isaac entreated Yahuwah for his wife because she was barren. That means she couldn't have any children. And Yahuwah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So when he went to the Most High, he opened up her womb. Now, when we get a little further than this, you're going to get the understanding of the battle that's going on. But I got to first lay the foundation. We're Genesis 25. Number 22 says, and the children struggled together within her womb, within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Most High. And Yahuwah said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Now keep in mind, go to Genesis 3:15. Keep in mind, I will put enmity between the two seeds, the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. So right here, the Most High lets us know in Genesis 25, verse 23, it says, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elders shall serve the younger. But unto the sons of the... Okay, when I put my notes together, family, I really screwed it together. Give me a second to get it right. Okay, give me a second to get it right. I think I jumped to 20. I'm going to have to redo my notes here because I'm all over the place. But I want to take you to verse 31. And Jacob said, I'm just going here and there just to get a quick overview. And Jacob said, remember he had the two sons. One was Jacob, one was Esau. Esau came out red like a hairy garment. Jacob, they didn't tell his complexion, but we know that he was the called seed. Now, just remember the enmity between the two seeds spoken of in Genesis 3:15, okay? So he says in verse 31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sweared unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I really pinpoint that because a lot of people in Christian society say that Jacob stole Esau's birthright, but that's not what was done. It was already prophesied that Jacob, the stronger one, would be over Esau. That was already prophesied to happen. Now, when you get to understanding this enmity that we're going to even see about the seed line, we know there's enmity of two seeds, right? We can go to Cain, the serpent seed, and Abel, the Hebrew, in Genesis 3:15. We can go to Esau, which are your Europeans, and Jacob, the Hebrews, in Genesis 27:41. We can go to the serpent seed nations and the Hebrew nations throughout our history book, the Bible, and the European history books that they are feeding us lies in today. Now, it talks about slavery in there. It talks about a lot of things in some of these history books. Specifically, it won't tell you the truth about a lot of this stuff, but it does talk about it there. Now, just in case you didn't know, there are a few examples of this enmity in Scripture spoken of and how the one seed would try to wipe out the Hebrew seed. When you go to the Egyptian Pharaoh and Moses' birth, remember? The Egyptian wanted all the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, to kill the male children when they came out of the woman on the birthing stool. Okay, that was one form of it. King Herod and Yahushua. Remember? King Herod wanted to kill all the male children because he knew about Yahushua's birth. And Yahushua was a Hebrew out of the line of Judah. Okay? Now, also we have to remember that Yahushua set out his prophets as lions, how do you say that? Lions among wolves? Wolves amongst lions, or something. I can't remember how you put it. But the prophets, when they went out, we know for a fact that they, by the serpent seed lineage, we know that they were tortured and killed, beheaded, all kind of things, cut in half. This was done to the Hebrews, the prophets, as well as the ones before Yahushua's time. So all these things were done. The siege of Jerusalem, many Hebrews were slaughtered in that siege of Jerusalem. And unless we just talk about it and say it for what it was always that hybrid lineage that was doing these things to the Hebrews. Remember, you can't take out Genesis 3:15. The Father said he's going to put enmity, a hatred, between the two seeds. And I'm going to take you somewhere else because you might have forgot this one. Now, why is it still happening today? Let's look at it. Remember Esau's promise. Go back to Genesis 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, here it goes, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Well, if you know that Esau is Edom, Idumea is Rome, Caucasians. If you know that, and if you know the true Hebrews, which are the 12 tribes of Israel, but not a piece of land, Jacob's name was turned to Israel, you can see that knowing who these people are, according to Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, that seed line has been scattered all over the world, but there's 12 tribes. The tribe of Judah is right here in America. And you can see where Esau's genealogy, his seed line, his sons, grandsons, and so forth, his lineage, is trying to slay their, in the Bible it says, slay my brother Jacob, but they are slaying Jacob, Jacob's troubles, even today. Now, I want to go, and I want to get something started for you guys. I want you guys to listen to this. This is something about Planned Parenthood. It's very, very interesting. This one's a little lengthy, but it's 15 minutes long. But I have more to play for you because I really want to get the get all this stuff out, and I want us to talk about it some too. So I will be taking callers, and it probably will have to go into a three-hour show. But let me get it rolling right now because we're going to talk about this hidden agenda that really isn't hidden if you know what the Bible says and if you know who's who in Scripture. It's not really hidden. Okay, it's only that they are very crafty and they do things behind closed doors and present them as a beautiful gift for whoever's going to accept it. Mainly they wanted the Hebrews to accept it, but it was no gift by far. Now let me get this played for everyone. This is the first one. It's Planned Parenthood, 15 minutes and 25 seconds. Here we go.
For almost 250 years, our people were held in bondage. And today, this period of history has come to be known by an ancient Swahili word. It's called the Maafa. And it began when the first Africans were shackled to the bottom of a slave ship. But the irony is that it did not end when the slaves were freed. In fact, it hasn't ended yet. And as you're about to see, a hidden racial agenda is keeping the Maafa alive into the 21st century.
What shall be done with the 4 million slaves if they are emancipated? This question has been answered and can be answered in many ways. Primarily, it is a question less for man than for God, less for human intellect than for the laws of nature to solve. Our answer is, do nothing with them. Mind your business and let them mind theirs. Your doing with them is their greatest misfortune. They have been undone by your doings, and all they now ask and really have need of at your hands is just to let them alone. Frederick Douglass, 1862.
It is the stupidity of man to think that he can do evil, even some monstrous evil, and it won't have any backlash on himself. But of course, it seldom works that way. And the moment he figures that out, he starts looking for a way to avoid the repercussions of what he's done. This is what happened with slavery. In the early 1800s, as it began to look like the end of slavery might be on the horizon, white America started to be concerned that a day of reckoning was coming. The primary fear for the average person was of retribution and insurrection, and that was a reasonable fear. After all, it's illogical to think that you can do to a whole group of people what was done to African Americans and think that they will just take it lying down forever. And of course, there were things like the Nat Turner uprisings. But for the wealthy elite, their fears went beyond things like insurrection. They were worried about the financial impact. Remember, it was not just the cotton plantations that profited from slavery. Whether you're talking about the banks or the insurance companies, the railroads, even the newspapers, the fact is that almost every aspect of the American economy was at some level or another invested in the slave business. You also need to recognize that for the wealthy elitist who controlled this system, slaves were an asset as long as they were slaves. But at the moment they are set free, they become a liability. And what the elite knew was that the end of slavery would instantly release 4 million people into the economy who had been kept uneducated and effectively unemployable anywhere but the cotton field. And what they were concerned about was that this was going to bankrupt the American economy. Taxes were going to go through the roof to take care of these people. Crime was going to be rampant. The prisons were going to be flooded. There was going to be this population overrun. And in the North, the biggest fear was migration from the South of these black people. The other fear that these people had was intermarriage between blacks and whites would lead to a loss of racial purity. The question was, what were they going to do about it? And their initial thought was that they would just send all the slaves back to Africa. This plan was called colonization, and it had broad support among the wealthy elite. In fact, the American Colonization Society was even funded by the United States Congress. But in the end, colonization proved to be unworkable, and the idea was eventually scrapped. But about that same time, a new philosophy was emerging in the world. It was called eugenics, and for some, it seemed like the perfect solution to what had become known as the Negro Dilemma.
I do not join in the belief that the African is our equal in brain or in heart. And I believe that if we can, in any fair way, possess ourselves of his services, we have an equal right to utilize them to our advantage. Francis Galton, 1857. Average Negroes possess too little intellect, self-reliance, and self-control to make it possible for them to sustain the burden of any respectable form of civilization without a large measure of external guidance and support. Francis Galton, 1873.
Eugenicists believed that Africans were inferior not just mentally, but physically, and that left to themselves, left alone, they would not make it. The problem is, it didn't work. With that failure, the eugenicists moved on to what is known as positive eugenics. In positive eugenics, the eugenicists wanted the white population to reproduce, to have so many children that it overwhelmed the black population. But that didn't work either. Next, they moved on to what they called negative eugenics. They knew that they could not round up all the blacks in the nation and execute them, so they decided to create an environment where they would convince the blacks to severely limit the number of children they were going to have, and thereby commit race suicide.
We are paying for and even submitting to the dictates of an ever-increasing, unceasingly spawning class of human beings who never should have been born at all. Margaret Sanger, 1922.
The laws of nature require the obliteration of the unfit, and human life is valuable only when it is of use to the community or race. Madison Grant, 1916, co-founder, American Eugenics Society.
The black man has never been a competitor, but has always been subservient to the white race. And just so long as he remains subservient, his position is secure. And just so soon as he becomes a competitor, his fate is sealed. Dr. Benjamin Hayes, eugenicist, 1905.
The practice of birth control among the majority of colored people would probably be more eugenic than among their white compatriots. The dissemination of the information of birth control should have begun with this class, rather than with the upper social and economic classes of white citizens. Walter Turpining, Birth Control Review, 1932.
In virtually every community where Negroes dwell, one finds them in Fat Times and Lean alike, contributing a disproportionate number to the roles of the dependents and delinquents. They make excessive demands on the white man's charity and overtax his patience. Newell Sims, Birth Control Review, 1932.
In a single incident during 1935, the Nazis sterilized the children of over 600 German women because it was reported that those children had been fathered by black men.
When news of this reached the United States, a member of the American Eugenics Society named Walter Ashby Plecker wrote a letter to the German Bureau of Human Betterment and Eugenics, praising them for the action and expressing his hope that not one child had been missed. 10 years earlier, Plecker had written that the black population was the greatest problem and most destructive force which confronts the white race and American civilization.
Eugenics goals are most likely attained under a name other than eugenics. Frederick Osborne, president and founding member of the American Eugenics Society.
By the late 1930s and early 1940s, revelations about Nazi and fascist atrocities in Europe were causing the public to become increasingly uncomfortable with terms like eugenics and population control. This alarmed the leaders of the American Birth Control League, who were aware that this shifting attitude could impact both their ability to implement their racial agenda and their ability to raise funds. They were also aware that the connections between the American Birth Control League and the Nazis were starting to become known. Marketing research had shown them that in this environment, they needed to move away from words like control in favor of less threatening words like planet. So in 1942, they changed the name of the organization. From then on, the American Birth Control League would officially be known as Planned Parenthood.
The important thing to understand here is that this name change did not change the organization's agenda. The same people were still in control, they were still obsessed with race, and they were still dedicated to eugenics. Today, defenders of Margaret Sanger will often try to hide her racism by claiming that she was not really a eugenicist, and that Planned Parenthood was never part of the eugenics movement. But the truth is that as late as 1956, the American Eugenics Society listed Sanger as a member of the organization. In addition, many of Sanger's colleagues and the people whose writings she published, as well as many of Planned Parenthood's officers, were also known to be members.
In fact, the ties between Sanger and the eugenics movement were so well established that in the 1920s, Sanger pursued a plan to merge the American Birth Control League, or Planned Parenthood, as it was later called, with the American Eugenics Society. However, despite Sanger's efforts, the merger plan died after being rejected by the leadership of the American Eugenics Society. As an alternative, Sanger then proposed that the two organizations at least combine their publications into one magazine. But again, that idea was also rejected by the American Eugenics Society.
The eugenic and civilization value of birth control is becoming apparent to the enlightened and the intelligent. The campaign for birth control is not merely of eugenic value, but is practically identical and ideal with the final aim of eugenics. Margaret Sanger, 1921.
Commonly, it is considered a great misfortune for America that Negro slaves were ever imported. The presence of Negroes in America today is usually considered a plight of the nation. Chapter 7, page 167. All white Americans agree that if the Negro is to be eliminated, he must be eliminated slowly, so as not to hurt any living individual Negroes. Chapter 7, page 168. The only way possible of decreasing Negro population is by means of controlling fertility. Chapter 7, page 170. Birth control facilities could be extended relatively more to Negroes than to whites, since Negroes are more concentrated in the lower income and education classes. Chapter 7, page 176.
Gunnar Myrdal's book on how to resolve what he called the Negro problem was published in 1944 by Harper & Brothers of New York. 4 years earlier, the same company, which is today known as HarperCollins, had also published a book by one of the founding members of the American Eugenics Society. At the time that Harper and Brothers published these books, its president was a man named Cass Canfield, who would later become the national president of Planned Parenthood.
We hope that the restraint of population growth can come about through voluntary means. But if it does not, involuntary methods will be used. Dr. Donald Minkler, 1972.
Donald Minkler was the president of the American Association of Planned Parenthood Physicians and a member of the board of directors of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Like many of those in the eugenics movement, he understood that their plans would not always be voluntarily adopted, and that the use of governmental coercion or even force might one day be necessary.
The idea of forced eugenics was not something that suddenly developed in the 1970s. In a 1929 speech, American eugenicist Samuel Holmes had proposed that mandatory birth control should be used as a tool to eliminate what he called the menace to the white race that had been created by increases in black population. His solution was to have a quota system in which the right to have a child would be controlled by the government and determined by race. At the time, Holmes was on the National Council of the American Birth Control League, which would later become known as Planned Parenthood.
Then, in 1936, eugenicist Julian Huxley proposed that the genetically inferior classes could be made to have fewer children if they were denied easy access to welfare. Another part of this proposal was that medical care to these same people should be restricted in order to reduce the survival rates of the children they did have. He also called for the forced sterilization of anyone who was unemployed beyond a certain length of time. Huxley was later honored by Planned Parenthood and was a featured speaker at one of their annual conventions.
The reality is that the views of people like Samuel Holmes and Julian Huxley were never uncommon within the American eugenics community. In 1969, a professor at the University of California, Dr. Garrett Hardin, called it insanity to rely on voluntarism to control population. Hardin was a member of the American Eugenics Society and an outspoken advocate of government-enforced birth control, saying that citizens should be willing to give up their right to breed for the betterment of society. In 1980, he was given Planned Parenthood's highest national award.
I consider that the world, and almost our civilization for the next 25 years, is going to depend upon a simple, cheap, safe contraceptive to be used in poverty-stricken slums, jungles, and among the most ignorant people. Even this will not be sufficient, because I believe that now, immediately, there should be national sterilization for certain dysgenic types of our population who are being encouraged to breed and would die out were the government not feeding them. Margaret Sanger, 1950.
This was written by Sanger in a personal letter to Catherine Dexter McCormick. McCormick was an heir to the International Harvester fortune and would later use part of her immense wealth to fund the development of the birth control pill.
Okay, I believe that's it. Now, family, I played that clip on numerous occasions, okay, and that was taken from the Ma'afa. Now, that's an older clip, and that was basically done so-called on racism. Now, we know just by going through the Bible, understanding that the Father gave a blessing for his children. And these people know this just as well, but they, like, just like this New World Order, just like Satan's kingdom coming on earth, and they want to, well, I shouldn't say coming on earth, but Satan's kingdom ruling instead of Yahuwah's kingdom, they really think that these things are going to occur. They think that they really can change what the Bible has stated. Now, I allowed you guys to listen to, a lot of that stuff was documented, okay? Documentation. You can understand the prophecy for Genesis 3:15 now, the enmity between the two seeds. You know, a lot of people want to say, oh, that's not true, there's no serpent seed. Well, yes, there is. The Father has told us that. And as we have been going through the book of Joel, we've been proving that, that they have been this hybrid seed has been usurping many of the nations. I mean, we can go to the Nebuchadnezzar dream where he had the statue and it was translated or given what the meaning of it meant. When you got towards the feet, it said that they would see to mingle themselves with the seed of man. And they have done that. They've mingled themselves all over the world. But you wonder, why is this hatred for the Most High's children all over the world? Because they're all over the world. They are all over the world. They have an agenda. The agenda has not, there's no change in that agenda of what the Most High said, as well as what Esau said in Genesis 27:41, talking about, you know, he's going to slay his brother Jacob. We know Jacob is Israel. Israel are the 12 tribes. So we see that this is going on today. And I got more information, but I want to bring Sister Venus on first. Sister Venus, when you come on, could you give us the understanding of what's written in the apocryphal book? I believe it's in Enoch. And I want you to, you know, what we're talking about right now, what's happening in the world. When they took out that book that was in the 1611 King James Bible, there was something written in there that pertains to what we're speaking of today. Can you share that with us, please?
Yes. In the book of Enoch, it is in chapter 69. And I'm going to read it from, let me see, verse 12. And it's in regard to the angels that left their heavenly home to have take wives of the daughters of men. and all the different crafts that were teaching them. From verse 12, it reads, and the fifth name was Kadijah. This is he who showed the children of men all the wicked smitings of spirits and demons, and the smiting of the embryo in the womb that it might pass away. So this was going on from the very beginning. That was taught to those women, their wives.
Do me a favor, Sister Venus, read that one more time again. I want to make sure everybody heard that. Now, that's taken out the book of Enoch. Can you read that for me one more time, please?
Okay, it's taken out of the book of Enoch, and that is chapter 69, verse 12. It reads, and the fifth was named Kadijah. This is he who showed the children of men all the wicked smitings of spirits and demons, and the smitings of the embryo in the womb that it may pass away.
Okay, I just want them to hear that, and I want them to know now. Now think about it. The Hebrews were never trying to get rid of it. I just want to say this, and Sister Venus, I'm going to let you get rolling here, because I know you got some stuff to add too. But think about it, what she just read to you. Now, that was taken out of the book of Enoch. These angels taught their children to do certain things. I mean, when you read the book of Enoch, you'll understand who those children are. This is something that they've wanted to hide from you. Okay, the book of Enoch also tells you what they look like. But this information, we see it even current today. The Hebrews were always being proud of giving birth, okay, and children and big, large families, because we were supposed to repopulate the earth, the chosen seed, okay? Now, we see that even today, what we're hearing, I just let you listen to tape one I have speaking of the Ma'afa, but it was going into Planned Parenthood. These same people are still plotting. They know the secrets of how to get rid of the embryo in the womb. Okay, they're being more out and open with it right now with what Obama's trying to pass, women's choice and Planned Parenthood. They're trying to be sneaky with what they're doing, but family, we're going to get into this because this is so important, and this is what is deceiving our people, causing them to err when they don't realize that the Most High opens a womb as a blessing. So, Sister Venus, continue. I know you wanted to add some more stuff.
Okay, what I found, and I found this also in the Testament of Judah, one of the apocryphal, pseudographical books that was taken out of Scripture. And I'm going to read that portion, and then I'm going to read the other Scripture from the Word for those who want to hear the Bible evidence. And really, it's talking about, it goes into Anan, and it goes into Anan basically not wanting to make his wife pregnant because he knew that that child would not be his child. It would be his brother's child because his brother had passed on. But anyway, this is coming out of the Testament of Judah, and I'm going to read, starting from, from verse 10, and it reads, and after these things, my son Er took a wife, Tamar, from Mesopotamia, a daughter of Aram. Now Er was wicked, and he was in need concerning Tamar, because she was not from the land of Canaan. And on the third night, an angel of Yahuwah smote him. And he had not known her according to the evil craftiness of his mother, for he did not wish to have children by her. In the days of the wedding feast, I gave Onan to her in marriage, and he also in wickedness knew her not, though he spent with her a year. And when I threatened him, he went into her, but he spilled the seed on the ground, according to the commandment of his mother. And he also died through wickedness.
And I'm going to go to verse 16, and it says, I wish to give Seleth also to her, but his mother did not permit it, for she wrought evil against Tamar, because she had not the daughters of Canaan, as she also herself. And, excuse me. So, I'm going to go to Genesis 38, and I'm going to start from verse 1.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second, Sister Venus. Let me just say a little bit something about what you just read. Now, family, what Sister Venus read was very important, and I'm going to tell you why it's important. I did a show, I talked about the token of virginity, and why that show was so important was because unlike the way the Hebrews would have the, you know, they'd be in a state of virginity when they got married, when they came and consummated the marriage before the actual marriage of what we see today, that type of thing. Go back to that show to get understanding, the tokens of virginity. But what's important is nowadays they teach us to just go ahead and, yeah, you could have sex. And for those people who have sex, they said that how do you avoid getting pregnant? A lot of them just say that they know mm-hmm. the time cycle, or they don't, go all the way through with everything. They like what she just read, they spill the seed. And you can see all the wickedness that's in the world today, because that's very well known, and that's common. Before we were Hebrews, many of us might have even done that, okay? What I'm saying is all the things that we have learned in the world today, just because it's being done doesn't make it right. See, the wickedness of this world has taught all the evils of how not to continue with childbirth. And I'm not saying that you got to go get pregnant left and right. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if your womb happens to be open, it's not open just because, oh, I made a mistake. No, it's open because the Most High has opened that womb up. And that's the purpose of it. But today's society would teach you that, well, if you spill, or if maybe you don't spill, but she happens to get pregnant and you didn't want a child, well, there's easy one-day pill. There's the abortion. There's the patch. There's all kind of mechanisms that they have now available, willing to give to our people. Because our people, basically, when you listen to the information from the Ma'afa, it tells you they were targeting, they call it the black or the Africans or whatever, the black Africans. Well, they're talking about the Hebrews, okay? And they talk about the other lower races, which they're talking about all the other 11 tribes out there. That's what they're speaking about. I thought that was very important because that's just another way. That's another evil. The Father didn't make for that kind of behavior to go on. But that's what we're seeing today, and nobody thinks twice of it. Nobody thinks twice of that behavior. Where did it come from? Who gave people that knowledge? Hey, do this. Try that. Oh, you don't. I can show you a way not to have a baby. Try this, do that. You know, it's all this nonsense. But when we're reading the scripture, the Father doesn't even list a way for us to have an abortion. He lets us know that if that womb is open, He lets you know He did it all. I can do this, or hey, I can close up a womb too. So I'm gonna let you go on, but I just wanted to throw that out there to make sure everybody's, understanding what we're speaking about here. We're speaking about when you have a child, it's always a blessing because the Most High ain't going to let that child come through unless He put it there, okay? Even the ones of evil, even the vessel of dishonor, I should say, even the vessel of dishonor. So, Sister Venus, please continue.
Okay, now Genesis 38 will be the precept for the Testament of Judah, and I'm going to start from verse 1. And it reads, and it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Edomite whose name was Hera. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went into her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and his name, and called his name Shelah. And he was a
Zezib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go into thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, which is what they call withdrawal, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased Yahuwah, wherefore he slew him also. So that's Genesis 38 from 1 through 10.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought that verse out. Sister Venus helps me with a lot of stuff, you guys. She's good for looking up those verses. 9 times out of 10, she already knows where they're at. So I'm glad she brought that verse out so you guys can hear what's in the scriptures. You know, because, like I said, it's a blessing to have a child. It's a blessing. And anybody who tells you anything other than that, they don't believe in the scriptures, okay? That's all I got to say about it, because I can't read in the scripture where the Father wasn't the one opening or closing. He does it all. He said, I create good, I create evil. I create a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Okay? He lets you know everything that has been done in this world, he allowed to happen for a reason. We might not understand that reason at times, but it's for a particular plan that he has. And the outcome is already written about in Scripture. It's called the end time prophecy. So, family, I want to move on real quick because we have 27 minutes and I want to share something else with you. Now, this is something I want everybody to hear. This, I titled this one, tape two, and it's only like, I think this one's 6 minutes. I'm not sure. But it's called Mass Hidden Agenda Killing of the Hebrews. Now, I played some of the parts before other shows. I don't know, but it's perfect for this show, and I have some new information to add on to this. So let me let you listen to... No, I'm sorry. This is only 5 minutes and 44 seconds long. Let me let you listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it.
And your author of a theory, here's what she's saying. First of all, white people are dying out. Into the next century, everybody on earth may be of color.
But let's ask ourselves this question. Okay, nuclear bomb. What's the main thing you're worried about? Getting killed? Okay? Getting radiation poisoning and dying a slow death? In other words, your survival, right? So it's always about protecting your behind. Well, what could be more threatening to your survival than the demise of your entire race? Since your race is not reproducing sufficient to support the population beyond another certain number of decades, meaning you're in decline, and it's only a matter of time until you disappear from the planet, you have to ask yourself, how did this happen? Who assaulted the Caucasian race?
What would you say is now the number one cause of death in the African-American community?
Disease?
Oh, HIV/AIDS.
Diabetes. Cancer.
AIDS.
I'll say heart disease. AIDS.
From what I heard, it's probably AIDS, you know.
Probably heart disease.
I think heart disease.
HIV. Gang violence.
What if I told you the real answer was abortion?
That they make is that the declining crime rate, you know, this, they deal with this hypothesis that one of the reasons crime is down is that abortion is up. Well,
I don't think that statistic is accurate.
Well, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either because, first of all, I think there's just too much that you don't know. But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down.
Whether you're talking about the liberal social engineers who control the Democratic Party, or the wealthy elitists who control the Republican Party, or the media, or the academic community, these people have created a kind of family planning cartel that does not tolerate dissent. And they have always been especially ruthless about this when it comes to African Americans. The perfect example of this was seen in the case of Samuel Yett. He wrote a book that exposed high-level plans within the United States to use birth control and abortion as instruments of black genocide.
The U.S. Naval Academy's Helen Perkins has spent years investigating Project Coast.
From the beginning, this idea of can we find a way to control the size of the black population was considered one of the most important areas of research. It got even more important over time as the size of the black population and the seriousness of the uprisings increased. So that's one reason why they got into genetic modification research, into is there a way to have contraceptives that could somehow basically sterilize blacks without them knowing it.
I've seen this several times in Africa where droughts have hit and the United Nations and USAID will not assist unless they accept birth control. I've been all through Africa myself and I've seen medical clinics that are full of birth control devices but no safe motherhood delivery kits. There's no anesthesia, there's not even any bandages there. There's crates and crates of birth control pills and condoms. Now, while our commitment to birth control is going up every year, our commitment to authentic economic development is dropping. So we see less clean drinking water funding, less school funding, see less medical clinic funding. Another example is Haiti. Haiti has been hit by hurricanes several times, and the United States and other countries are saturated with birth control. In Haiti now, any woman, 90% of women at least, can now get access to any kind of birth control they want to, government funded, but less than 20% of the Haitians have access to clean drinking water. Now try to imagine there being a natural catastrophe in a country like Canada or Australia or France or England. And we go in there and we say to them, we're not going to offer you any kind of aid unless you accept our philosophy on birth control and population control. That would be outrageous. But that's our standard operating procedure when we go to a black country after a catastrophe of some kind. You cannot believe that we are going to treat people in a foreign country like this and not treat our own population of African Americans the same way. Consider what happened after Hurricane Katrina. One of the first things we did was bring in birth control and contraception. And as we all know, the hurricane disproportionately affected black families in that area. And I seriously doubt if the same kind of disaster hit a middle-class white area, the first response would be condoms and birth control.
They figured out that the key to racial genocide is not in killing people, but in convincing the target group to commit mass suicide. This is what birth control, and especially abortion, are all about. And the reason Planned Parenthood has been so successful is because, unlike other eugenics organizations, they have always been able to keep their agenda hidden from the public.
Okay. Sorry if I lost my phone. But anyhow, that's just allowing you to listen to some of the things that have been hidden, some of the things that have been going on that they're not going to report really in the fashion that they should across the news that you hear on your television set. Even if you hear worldwide news, a lot of times they keep this thing hush-hush. Usually a lot of times when they do report it in the correct fashion, it's only going to be reported in foreign countries. But we see the same thing, family. Is this not, you know, it might not be the exact same thing, but it's still of the same nature that when we spoke of the Egyptian pharaoh and, you know, Moses' birthway, he was slaying all those children. You know, he didn't care that he went through mass numbers of children, Hebrews, to kill off one man, okay? Same thing with King Herod. King Herod wanted to kill off one specific, which was our brother and our Messiah, Yahushua, but that's what he did. He went out and chased him, looking for him, you know. Of course, the Most High told Mary and Joseph to go out to Egypt, which is where the dark races were, to hide out. You know, and then we look at the prophets. We know that they were, it's written in the book. When we look at the siege of Jerusalem, we know who was there. It was the Hebrews, but not the Caucasian spiritual Israel from Christianity, not the Jewish serpent seed out in Israel and scattered all over, including the United States too, but not the Gentile Edomites, but the Hebrews, the 12 tribes of Jacob that are scattered all over the world, known as your darker races. Okay, that information is already out there. That's old news. I know I have a lot of guests on my show today. That's old news. Just go through our archives and get the understanding on that. I don't want to really regress too much on today's show because we have so much more to go over. But what I'm letting you listen to is you're going to find that we can read in the Bible, we can read in the Book of Enoch, where this was something that was sought out to be done, to rid the blessing from the Most High, especially for the Hebrews. Because we were given the blessing to be numerous, numerous as stars in the heaven, the dust of the earth, and the sands of the seas. Now, how much more numerous can you get than that? So you see, they are targeting out a specific group, just like you heard in the beginning of the Ma'afa. When they were using us, they liked us to multiply, and they used our Hebrew males and our females as breeders because we were product to them. They were able to use us, abuse us, and everything else. So that was wonderful. You know, free labor. I mean, they're still getting free labor today. Many of us don't even realize that, but they're getting free labor today out of our people. The plans really don't change, just the title and how they present it may be different, but it's really all the same agenda. But when the slaves were free, what's the first thing you saw done? You saw many of, and like I said, I'm not trying to pick on the Caucasian race, but yes, it is you. In America, it is you. And I know this history, I probably get a lot of people drop the call at this point because, you know, especially in America, they do not want to face up to the facts of what their forefathers have done. But this was done. Hangings, killings, lynchings, rapings, beatings, boiling in hot water to death. All kind of things were done to limit but yet keep us under control. Now, when we talk about control, they have another way to control us, yes. Jail cells are one way they keep us in control, especially when they frame you wrong. But then again, you look at the flip side of it, the reason why many of us are in jail is because they limit the income that our people can make, making our people fight, steal, cheat, whatever, to just make a living. They distributed the guns that are in those gang members' hands and criminals' hands. Now, I'm talking about Edom. They have done all this. They have distributed the drugs that have people just whacked out of their mind doing all types of atrocities. So you see, it still falls back on who put it there. Whose plan was it to put it into what they call the lower class, which we call ourselves the Hebrews, because that's part of prophecy as well, that we will be now the tail instead of the head. So they have had this agenda. This agenda is in full effect. I'm trying to warn our brothers and sisters, if you should be one who is possibly in this situation now, don't abort your child. See, the whole thing is you got to know who's who in the scripture. You got to know what the Father blessed us with. One of the blessings, family, is we would have children. Now, it didn't say, oh, you're going to have children by the time you turn 35, you're married, got a wonderful big house, and you got two sports cars in the driveway, and, you know, no. It doesn't say that. But what it does say is this seed line for 400 years is going to get afflicted. That same seed line will be blessed, and it will be numerous. So when one of our, especially if you're a Hebrew, and the last thing you should be is encouraging our people to get abortions. The last thing, if you know the scriptures. And that's what we're trying to bring forward. But we're also allowing you to see that this enmity between these two seeds is still current today. Jacob was a quiet man, okay? He didn't want no problems. He didn't want no war. But Esau said, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to slay my brother. And it was two different manners of people, two nations, two different nations. Jacob was a Hebrew, and Esau was a Caucasian Gentile. But these two nations, just like the two seeds in the beginning, you had Cain's genealogy, and then because he slew his brother Abel, the Most High had the replacement son of Seth for Adam. There is where your Hebrew lineage begins in Genesis 5 with Seth. Cain had his, that serpent seed had his genealogy in Genesis 4. This same lineage has usurped many of the different nations all over the world, the other cultures, nations, whatever you want to call them, tribes of people. They've done this because now you go over to different parts of the world and you see a more Caucasian, I don't know, some type of foreigner. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, they're even out here in America. But they give you that. Where they blended their seed all over, now you have something different there. But originally, that wasn't the color of them. Many of our people have grown light skin because of what Edom has done. Now Edom, they're still for a thirst for blood in America, and they have been pushing eugenics. They've been pushing medical tests. Specifically, they want to cut off our, what they call depopulation with this New World Order deal. But what they're talking about is getting rid of them Hebrews. Go into the Jewish book of the Illuminati and get some understanding there as well. Family is going on. What we're seeing today is definitely going on. Sister Venus, did you want to add? Let me check out my time real quick. But, yeah, we have about 13 minutes. Family, we're going to be going into overtime. The call-in line will be open. We do have more to go over. So if you want to continue with us, I'm going to give you a five-minute count. Right now we have about 14 minutes. If you want to call in and switch over to our call-in line to continue the show, the number is 646-595-4111. I'll try to warn you one more time when you need to switch over, but if you want to go ahead and switch over, if you have questions, now is the time, and we'll take your questions as I see them. So, Sister Venus, would you like to add anything at this point, please?
Yeah. I just want to say, while you were talking, I was online, and I was looking up abortion. I remember listening to you talk. I remember we had a show a while ago, and we were talking about, I think I made mention that, I mean, with this, even with abortion, there are people out there that eat those bodies. There are people, that's big business. Those bodies of those babies, they're using it for stem cell research. They're using them for taste receptors, to test taste receptors for the food. You know, they're using them for, I think in Russia, they're using them for to manufacture Botox injections and stuff like that. Stuff that, I mean, it's vanity, just pure evil, and harvesting those babies' organs. Now, they're killing us. They want to kill us out, but they want to use many of our children's organs for people who might have kidney failure, all these things. Those things are so evil. I mean, a life. This is just like when our ancestors were in Egypt, when they started killing the firstborn. Even Herod, when he called and killed the children up to, 2 years old? I mean, it's preposterous. It's utterly evil. I mean, shoot, obviously we're a total threat, period. But just, I mean, genocide, you know, genocide against the people and then making it profitable. And it's not just in America, it's worldwide. So they're all using aborted babies' body parts for cosmetics, for food, whatever it is, for medicine, supposedly. It is outrageous. It is.
Well, you're right about that. Hey, but you know what? This stuff is still being done. They're gonna destroy. They're cannibalisms, cannibalistic people out there that, you know, might not be everyone you know, but there are people who still do these practices, family. The Bible declares it, and it is true. Now, I'm going to go through one more part. Actually, I got about three more parts to go over, but I have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take that caller now. But after the caller, I'm going to be going into something that many of us may be asked to receive, and this is strictly coming out of Planned Parenthood. I got some information going into why is this new drug coming out. It's a contraceptive. I want to go into that with everyone as well. So first I'm going to take my next caller here, And I'm going to go into that information in a second. I think you're going to be really surprised when you hear about this, because I know that they are offering it to all of the when you go get a physical for the women, they are offering this to the women, and I want to warn everybody of this. So just hang with me for a second. Okay, I'm opening up the line here. Shalom caller 770. Shalom, shalom.
Hello, Sister Georgia. This is Quentin. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Quentin. How are you doing? I'm doing just fine.
Oh, I'm good. I've just been listening to your show, and I just want to say thank you for your show and the information that you're putting out there and just the truth that you're putting out there and everything and how the Creator's been blessing you. And I also gave this number to my friend. She's actually listening. Her name is Tia. She's just kind of new to this thing, so would you have any, like, encouraging words to say as she's kind of coming into this awe? Like,
well, yeah, because this word that we're teaching, this is the same word that's in your Bible, and it's, to me, it's a blessing if the Father has opened up your eyes to have understanding of what's going on. And the best thing I can offer in advice is start reading your own Bible, but pray to the Father, you know, ask him to remove the blinders. As a Hebrew Israelite, we are supposed to repent of the sins that got us into the conditions of the curses in Deuteronomy 28, as well as Leviticus 26. Repent of the sins that we're doing, come out of this wicked system, and, you know, now we start talking with the Father in Yahushua's name. So it's a blessing that you're here, and I hope that you, you know, go through some of the archives, join our Biblical Hebrew site to get understanding, because all of this is just a blessing. We are now being revealed in this end time the truth of the Father's word, and I'm really happy that Tia is here. And I hope that, you know, she can call in and share with us as well.
Okay, thank you, Sister Georgia.
Did you want to add anything else? Sister Venus, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I thought you was talking to the brother.
Okay, I can't hear him. Okay, Brother Quinn, I'm going to put you back on pause. I can't hear you. I don't know if you're speaking or not, but I'm going to put you on pause for a second. I think he, wait a minute, hold on, let me see. Yeah, he's still on. Let me put him on pause. I'm going to bring you back up in a second. I just want to go through a little bit more information. I'm just going to give in that call-in number right now. That number is 7, I'm looking at the time. We have 7 minutes left. That call-in number is 646-595-4111. And I really want to get some of this information out. I'm going to take more callers, but those of you guys who want to call in or join us on the call-in line, we have more information that I believe is very vital. And then I want to give a personal testimony that gives all praise and shows you the miracles that our Father is still working. I'm going to give that personal testimony. That deals with the birth of my first grandchild. And like I said, family, these things are occurring. Our Father's truth is being shown to us if we pray out and we talk to our Father. Now, let me go and give you guys this information first. Now, many people will say, well, okay, that might have been the reason why back then that they bought out Planned Parenthood, but now everybody gets Planned Parenthood. It's not really targeted on anybody. Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's always been. The agenda has never changed. All they do is they change the packaging on how you receive something, and they always put it as a benefit and a plus to you. Now, we're going to go over this material about Depo-Provera, I think that's how you pronounce it, and it's a shot, okay? I'm going to give you the commercial that YouTube has on for this particular shot. And when I give you this information about this shot, okay, it's only a minute long, but I will give you the link, okay, and I'll post all that within my show notes. But it's funny because when you listen to the whole Ma'afa 21 video that's on YouTube, which I took some of the recordings out of, you will see that when they bought in this way of depopulation of the Hebrew seed, what they did was they put more black faces out there so the people there will feel comfortable. That's what they did, and it worked, okay, because the Hebrews were starting to feel comfortable. They saw one of their own out there, and this is a tactic that even the secret covenant of the Jewish Illuminati uses. They said we will recruit their own, and they do. They recruit our own, but see, our own that they recruit, sometimes they are deceived. Sometimes they know very well what they're doing, okay? But this is another case of that. Now, we are at the five-minute mark. This is only a minute and, let's see, this is only a minute and 9 seconds. So I'm going to go ahead and get this started. I'm going to announce the call-in number one more time. If anybody wants to switch over because we still have more information to go through, that number is 646-595-4111. And let me go ahead and let you listen to the Depo-Provera, it's called Depo-Provera birth control shot. Now, this is a YouTube video from Planned Parenthood. Check it out.
Is pregnancy not in your plans for the immediate future? Are you looking for birth control you can count on but don't have to think about every day? You might want to consider Depo-Provera, the birth control shot. The shot prevents pregnancy for 12 weeks. That's about 3 whole months of not having to worry about getting pregnant. And it's easy. A quick visit with your healthcare provider, a little poke, and you're covered for 12 weeks. No one even needs to know you're using birth control. How does it work? Well, the shot contains a hormone. It prevents your body from releasing an egg. It also thickens the mucus of your cervix to make it harder for sperm to enter your uterus. And it's effective. Fewer than 1 in 100 women will get pregnant each year if they get the shot every 12 weeks. The shot doesn't protect against sexually transmitted infections. Use condoms if you're concerned about preventing STDs. And like other hormonal medications, the shot may have some side effects. If you're interested in learning more about this method, check out the info on PlannedParenthood.org. You can even find the nearest health center to set up an appointment.
Okay, that was that one-minute clip off the Depo-Provera birth control shot that they're giving out, and they're really pushing it. They've been pushing it now for about, I would say, about 5 years, family. I'm going to get into some more information. I want to just give everybody the call-in number because we only have 3 minutes left, and pretty soon they will not let you call in to continue joining with us. You can just listen to the archive to hear the rest of the show, but I'm asking everybody, please jump over because I still have very important information to go over. Now, the number, if you would like to call over, you know, switch over to the phone line, it's 646-595-4111. Okay, and we will take callers, and we're going to continue the show, and I still got to give my personal testimony and give you some more information. But what I want you to know is they are speaking of this Depo-Provera birth control shot. They've been pushing this, family. I'm going to show you how Planned Parenthood has never changed its program, its agenda. It has always been targeted out for the Hebrews. I'm going to prove that to you today. Now, what you need to know is this. I can only speak from personal experience, and I know it's being done. When I took my daughter, the one who had a baby, but this was some years ago, I took her to the get her checkup or something. It was something very, very, just, you know, regular checkup, nothing biggie. I took her there. I had this young Edomite doctor. I would say he's probably about maybe 28 or 29, somewhere around there, blonde, blue-eyed, and all that. And I never trusted him. That's just me personally, not because he was white. I don't know, something about him. Just didn't trust him. But one thing he did was he pushed that Depo-Provera shot to my daughter. At the time, I think she had to be, she was young. I don't even think she was quite 13. But he was pushing on her. He asked her if she was sexually active. We told him no, she wasn't. He started telling me about this shot again. I told him I am not interested in that shot. Well, then he started telling me why I should be. I said, listen, man, and, you know, I can get a little ghetto, family, you know, because I don't like with what I'm finding out with the Hebrews now, who we are and so forth. We have 90 seconds left, so make sure you switch over if you want to switch over, family. 646-595-4111. But what it is I'm going to tell you through my personal testimony, these people have an agenda. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to get the agenda. But this doctor must have asked me 5 times. The last time I told him, hey, I said I don't want it. We're not interested. And I had to take it that route because it was like, I felt like for every shot that he pushes off on one of the Hebrews, he gets a payback. That's all I could think about. Why is he, if you tell him no the first time, why is he trying to get your 13-year-old child to get this shot when you're letting him know she's not having sex? Why? There is an agenda. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. I would like you guys to listen, okay? I would like you guys to listen to actual testimony that was done in Israel, okay? Now, this is for the Deborah Rivera shot that they were passing out in America. Now, this is what they did in Israel, okay? Keep in mind, they're going to be talking about the Ethiopian Jews, okay? They were a dark skin. They looked just like us, but they are in Israel right now. But this is what this clip is talking about, this shot that they have been putting on the people out in Israel who are non-Israel, non-Jewish people, but Ethiopian Jews. Take a listen to this, and you tell me if this is not a major scheme, a major plan. And look at the side effects, and look at the outcoming of this so-called innocent drug that they're trying to push on our children. Have a listen, please.
Feminist movement has accused the Israeli government of adopting a racist policy towards the country's Ethiopian Jews. Activists believe black women are deliberately being given a controversial contraceptive to bring about a drop in the population, a claim the government denies. Thousands of Ethiopians have immigrated to Israel since the 1980s, but their Jewish heritage has been questioned while their social status continues to suffer.
For nearly 4 years, Racheli Mangoli has been running a youth center in one of Israel's poorer communities. 45 Ethiopian families live here, but throughout that entire time, only one Ethiopian baby was born in this neighborhood, and that alarmed Racheli.
Because I smell something not good. I know about the discrimination here. When I'm going with the children, I feel this. Even when I'm going to buy something in the super, one woman say to me, "I don't understand how can you are standing near people like this. When they give me money, I'm going and washing my hands."
After some investigation, Racheli discovered many of the Ethiopian women keen not to get pregnant while setting up life in a new country had been placed on the controversial contraceptive Depo-Provera, a drug few Israeli women have heard of, let alone use. This woman was first put on it 4 years ago and underwent repeated injections every 3 months. She says it's left her with such terrible pains in her hands and back she can no longer work. She insists she was never told about its side effects or offered an alternative. Like many Ethiopians in Israel, she's afraid she'll be deported if she questions the authorities. Dr. Factor is reluctant to give the contraceptive to his patients. He says it's known to delay fertility for months after women come off it, and in some cases can cause infertility.
Again, the safety factor is 100%. As a contraceptive, it's absolutely fine. But at least 10% develop substantial side effects. Side effects like irregular bleeding, the periods may disappear, they may have heavy periods, and it's impossible to reverse these side effects. Until it's worked itself out of the system, you can't reverse these. So it's possible, although the contraception works for 3 months at a time, the side effects may last for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
In 2004, the American Food and Drug Administration warned against the dangers of the drug, but the World Health Organization refused to restrict its use. Hedva Eyal has tried unsuccessfully to draw attention to the fact Ethiopian Israelis are given the drug without being warned of the risks. She claims it's her government's policy and is nothing short of racism.
They don't want poor or black children, and therefore Provera gives them the opportunity to have the control, because she can taking her injection once in 3 months and she cannot have a children. You know, it's 100% secure from children.
Hedva says the policy is working. The number of black babies in Israel is decreasing. But there are no official statistics to back up her claim, although for community workers and Ethiopian women here, they don't need statistics. They feel their reality speaks for itself.
We've come to the clinic where the women get the injections, but no one will talk to us.
The health ministry admits it gives the drug, but says it was never its policy to give it only to Ethiopian women and reduce the number of black babies in the country.
In their defense, Jewish agencies involved in immigration said they offered several types of contraceptives to Ethiopian women, and that all of them participated voluntarily in family planning. Paula Fleer, RT, Israel.
Well, for more on this, we're joined live by Dr. Yifat Bitton from the Israeli Anti-Discrimination Legal Center, Tamura, and also by Professor Zvi Bentwich, immunologist and human rights activist. Well, thank you both for joining us. To you first, Dr. Bitton, do you believe the findings of this human rights group reveal a genuine problem with racism in Israel?
I certainly do not think so. I would say that we are, and personally I'm very sensitive, especially towards the Ethiopian issue, and I don't think there is any ground to suspect an official policy of that kind. I, of course, do not know sufficiently the specifics of the cases raised by the Dr. Bitton.
Well, let's give Dr. Bitton a chance to actually respond to that then. What's your view on that?
The statistics are that 60% of the women receiving this contraceptive, this controversial one, are Ethiopian Jews. And you have to understand that Ethiopians in Israel comprise of or consist up to only 1% of the population. So the gap here is just impossible to reconcile in any logical manner that would, you know, just somehow resist the claim of racism. So I don't think, as Professor Bentwich said, that this is something that has to be official. This is the problem with racism today, that nothing is official. But everything, you know, as on the ground and statistically, and the consequences of what is not official is definitely racism, and is definitely racist in that manner. And this is how sociologists today look at racism, as something that is eventually bringing upon very discriminatory consequences.
Okay, well hang on just a moment. Here. Professor Bentwich, you heard the statistics there. How do you respond to that then?
I would only say two things. Number one, I'm not against looking and inquiring the claim. If there is a claim, one should investigate. But when asked about official attitude, official policy, official medical policy, I am very reluctant to accept that is indeed a policy of racism on that part.
All right, Feldman, that was it. Now, that clip was, I believe it was taken in 2010. Could be sooner, I'm not sure. Could be like 2011. But the whole point is this. If you understand what Scripture tells you about how there would always be this enmity between the two seeds, and then you go all the way down when you know who's who in the Scripture and see who the enmity have always been between, it's only between two seeds, the Most High's children, his seed, and then the serpent seed. So now we see out in Israel, we know that they're in America too, the Edom. Just that in Israel, you heard from Amalek speaking right there, the serpent seed of Amalek, Revelations 2:9-9. But it's the same type of enmity. It was just like when we had Margaret Sanger back in the, what, I think it was, she was in the, what, 1600s, 1700s, whatever, 1800s, I don't know. But this has been going on throughout the Bible history. It's been going on through world history. It has been coming on to us really strong lately, modern day, with these new forms of birth control pills that they're offering our people. But there has always been a hidden agenda. Now, I will give one other testimony. I'm going to bring Sister Venus on in a second, and I'll take callers. Just put the number, I think hit the one button, and I'll see your hand up, and I'll get you on. Now, I'm going to tell our people one other thing that they really need to be cautioned of when you're dealing with Esau, with the Edomites. I'm going to tell you, they're very, very deceptive, and they're very, very clever. Now, one other thing they do, see, the whole thing is they want to reduce this population. But they know, well, if we can't kill off the Hebrews, we will offer them ways to reduce population. Usually the ways they offer to reduce population through all these birth control methods, there's always a bad side effect. On my site, in the blog that we're doing for this show, I have listed several places for you to go check out and see what's going on. There's one particular one that I shared with everyone, and it was talking about the birth control pill. Okay, a lot of people don't understand that's pure poison, okay? I see the young females around here nowadays walking around all bloated up and messed up. And I know when I was in college on that birth control pill, I had cysts developing on my ovaries. I had to stop taking it, okay? I stopped taking it early. But these type of things could lead to sterilization, and they won't tell you this. I'm going to tell you another little trick they pull on our people, especially our women. What they do is they will ask you, do you want your tubes tied? And they will explain to you, oh, you can reconnect your tubes at any time. Okay, I chose to do that after my third child. Okay, this was some years back. I decided to do that. But let me tell you this. Later I find out that they had gave me a tubal ligation in such a way that I could never have kids again. Never. Now, if that's not taking away your rights, if that's not doing something sneaky and undermining it, you tell me what is. Because they knew doggone well. I said, right at this moment, I don't want to, you know, have children at this moment. Not anymore, but I want that option for later. But that's not what was done to me. And I'm telling you, you go into these places, especially where Edom is, they will tell you one thing with a smile on their face, but there's a hidden agenda. It's always something else. And if we're going to stick with the scripture, it is to get rid of the blessing that was given to us, the Hebrew Israelites, by our father Yahuwah, that we will be numerous as the sands of the sea. They're trying to do their depopulation. They're targeting one specific group. That's our people. They are making what's good, which is what the father gave you, now bad. Oh, you're pregnant. Oh, abortion. You know, easy, passing out these condoms, passing out all this stuff. It wasn't in our Father's Word. I don't believe anywhere in our Father's Word there was a Planned Parenthood on a corner passing out condoms to the Hebrews. See, when we start to think about these things, we have to look within Scripture and see, well, wait a minute, where was that done in Scripture? Well, 9 times out of 10, family, you're going to find out that the fallen angels were giving their children much information. Whatever information they were giving was totally not what the Most High wanted his children to be doing. And that's one of the reasons why he said, come out of her. Don't, you know, and then there is scripture, and I will have to give it for another show because I know I'm going to be running in overtime here. But it tells you who not to trust, why you don't trust them. It tells you all these different things. But when you see throughout the scripture that enmity, that taking over, that warlike behavior, you know it's that serpent seed in there. You know that the serpent seed has migrate into all the Gentile nations, and even, I don't want to even say it even migrated into Hebrews. What I will say is all Israel is not of Israel. Just because they're blue, black, with an afro, big lips, and big butt don't mean nothing, family, because all Israel is not of Israel. It's easy to understand why Jay-Z would sing songs about Lucifer and would let you know he's all the way Illuminati, why you see Beyonce coming crazy now, why you see Rihanna, all these celebrities, and Will Smith and his wife in Scientology, and many of the, even the Hebrew comedians and the actors, they don't believe in the Most High. But all Israel is not of Israel. Some people have gotten recruited into it. Some people know very well what they're getting into. But we have to take a look at what our Father says so we can now make what is bad good again. Because what you're getting into the world is usually total opposite of what's in Scripture. And importantly, I've been wanting to bring this show out to really pinpoint to our brothers and our sisters what's going on with conceiving, the blessing of conceiving, to know what was the agenda in the Bible, to know what the agenda is even in today's world, okay, throughout history and today what we're seeing. This Deborah Provera has been offered to our children for so many years now. Now they're talking about, oh, it causes this, it causes this. You know, think of it this way. These people are not going to offer anything, especially when they try offering it for free, because that's what they did when they went after Katrina, contraceptives, this, this, that. They're not going to offer anything free unless they have an agenda behind it, because that is what we're seeing, that is what's going on, and that was when I took my daughter in, and Sister Venus, I'm going to bring you on, I'm sorry, I just want to get this out real quick. When I took my daughter in for, what was it, her second-to-last pregnancy visit, every single one, let's just say every single one, she had a midwife deliver her baby, but this midwife would ask her the same question over and over again. My daughter got indignant. I didn't say nothing to her because I had already told her what the plan was. They kept asking her, well, what type of birth control method are you going to use? Have you decided? Because she had a whole pamphlet full of suggestions, okay? And they will do this to all your children. And in my case, my daughter was only 16. So if I hadn't been there, you know they would have got her involved in some crazy mess. But my daughter said, no. And she got indignant with the lady. So at the very last time, I just told the lady, yeah, we're just going to use, what do you call it, abstinence. That's what I said, abstinence. Because that was basically my way of saying to her, don't ask us no more, okay? Because what can she say if I say we're going to do abstinence? You know, yes, we don't want our children just going out there and getting pregnant. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if that womb opens, who are we to tell any of our Hebrew brothers or sisters to get rid of that baby? You know, I look at what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a blessing. So I'm not going to say anything but what the Bible says. Our Father says that he opens wombs and he closes them. And if you believe in our Father, you know that there is nothing that is done that he didn't allow to happen or didn't do. So with that, you know, we nip that in the bucket. Now, before I get to my testimony of where I want to show everybody the Most High's powers and his miracles, I want Sister Venus to go ahead and reply with all the information that we've learned now about the Depo-Vera shot, birth control pills, patches, contraceptions for men and women, the one-day birth control pill to get rid of, you know, to get rid of the baby after one day of sex. They have 24-hour pill, I think is what they call it. The different types of sterilizations, tubal ligation involvement, anything. What is going on, Sister Venus? What do you have to say?
Well, I have a short testimony, and this is about a girlfriend of mine. She had an issue. She had joined the military and was on Depo-Provera already. And she was a little bit overweight at the time. She was running a lot. And she kept complaining to them something is wrong. And, you know, they berated her. They're like, nothing's wrong with you. She said the very next day, the morning she woke up, she couldn't walk because she had developed an infection in her legs. What happened was Depo-Provera, one of the side effects is that it brings on a premature onset of osteoporosis, which means your bone, women, particularly in women, it happens to anybody, but your bones become weaker. So they break easy. Well, she's like in her 20s. She's 23, 24 years old, has this onset of osteoporosis, didn't know. So all these breaks, these little fractures in her shins caused this infection. She had to be hospitalized for a month because of this. And they said because of the this type of condition that occurred, that by the time she's 45, she should be walking with a cane. It was that severe. And a lot of women, I mean, there's women that take Depo-Provera. They take it for quite some time, and when they get off it, sometimes they're not able to have children right away. Sometimes a year will go by, and they do not have the ability to make children. Now, some women think that's a benefit, but there's something wrong with that. Because how many of these women do you know that are actually able to have children ever again? I mean, It's wild. Number two, I mean, for a lot of what I have, a reproductive condition, so I have to go to the doctor all the time. Now, what a lady told me, an older Hebrew woman, she basically warned me. She said, you know, you're a young black woman. They're going to tell you to have a hysterectomy. That's what they told me, but that because I knew ahead of time to say no to it, the doctor offered me all these types of birth control, including Depo. But it was like seasonal. That's the one you only have your monthly 4 times a year. They have the ones where you take it all the time and you never have your monthly. You have, like Georgia was saying, the patch. They have Moderna. They have all these different things. Now they're using birth control as a treatment for reproductive issues like I have, because every time I go to the doctor, they're pushing all this birth control on me, you know, a lot, you know, and I'm like, they're saying they're trying to treat me, and I was like, why do you want to treat me? I don't want to have this issue anymore. Why would you give me birth control for that? The thing is, when you take these birth control over time, it really affects your hormones. It really affects your fertility in the end. And not only that, all the side effects. How many times have you looked on the commercials on the TV and see there's a lawsuit for Yasmin? There's a lawsuit for certain types of IUD. There's a lawsuit for all these different types of medications, including birth control, because the side effects are so bad. You know, one of the side effects of birth control is deep vein thrombosis. Deep vein thrombosis primarily happening in the legs. It forms a clot. When that clot is released, it can go through your brain and kill you. You know, if you are a person who smokes, you cannot take certain types of birth control. If you drink a lot, you cannot take these birth control because they cause other problems. You know, you can cause high blood pressure. It can cause, which causes so many other different things. I mean, this is poison that's going into your body. You know, and as far as, you know, birth control, they're trying to get it to the men, but it's easier to get to the woman first. You know, and, you know, if they can get our Hebrew brothers and put them on that, that would be like, whoa, hip hip hooray for them. Because if you get a man, that's it. There's just no way in the world afterwards that you're going to have this spurt in, this certain burst of population growth. I mean, it's a real horrible thing. They really come at us women, us Hebrew women, when we go to the doctors for that. They really do, and they come out really nice. And you might say no, and they continue to push it, and they continue to push it. So I can relate to George's daughter, because they find every other way. You know, you have this problem, it will help you tremendously. But there's a lot of the Gentile women are not even trying to take those things. A lot of them are trying to go to alternative methods for it. They're not even, no, they're going in, you know, it's just wild. But some of us, you know, we see that as an easy way out, you know. The thing is, yeah, abstinence, if you don't want to be abstained, you know.
Sister Venus?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I was still being heard. I'm just going to get rid of my phone. So I think I have really bad connections here. But I want to, let me just check my chat line real quick. Okay, there's no callers right now, but we have 35 minutes left, and I want to get through somebody's testimony, because I do want to give all praise and worship to our Father Yahuwah. And I think that, you know, like I said, when I had wanted to do this show for a while now, and it just so happened to present itself when my daughter got pregnant, okay, everything, and especially for the birth. Now, I will tell you this. Thankfully, the Father has opened my eyes to understand his words and understand that when our children, it might not be the way or the direction that we have chosen for our children, but you can better believe that our Father has already predestinated everyone's path that they're taking now. So when she, you know, told me that she was pregnant, oh, my goodness, I thought, what? You know, but
you know, I went up there to talk to her. She was crying, and, you know, because she had basically tried to hide it from me. And, you know, I guess she expected me to react and pull my hair out and start throwing things, and, you know, but I didn't react like that. I know I shocked her, but she didn't know that I knew the Father's word. So, you know, I it was done. What else could I do? What I did tell her was, you know, I want her to still, you still walk with your head high. Don't let nobody make you feel bad because you have a blessing in your stomach, okay? You've been blessed in the womb by our Father. And I told her that she is still to continue doing what she needs to do. There will be no talk of no abortion. We won't have that, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you about the delivery. This was really important. This is where the Father worked his miracles in our life. Now, she had we had gone to the hospital early, I don't know, about 8 o'clock in the morning, and this was the 1st, August 1st, we went into the hospital. She went into labor. Now, she died. She was about a little over five centimeters by the time we got there. You know, you have to get to 10 before they'll take the baby. So from about 8 o'clock in the morning till about maybe, I would have to say it had to be about 11 at night, she had only dilated to 7. So I had gone outside, you know, or gone walking around, or I did something. When I came back, okay, my son-in-law, he tells me like this. He says, "We got problems. We got problems," as I'm walking back to her room. And he says that they want to have a C-section. I'm like thinking, oh, is the baby's cord strangled around, you know, the baby's neck? Is he in distress? Or is it my daughter? What's going on? Because I knew I'd been in there a long time. Now, I go into the room. My daughter has the covers pulled over her face, and she's crying. And I'm like, what's going on? India, what's wrong? And then she told me, she said they want her to have a C-section, but she doesn't want it. Now, of course, she, being a 16, didn't want it because of probably vanity, I would have to say, because I'm concerned about the child. But one thing I do know is that was done to me. And if somebody would have been there to counsel me, otherwise I probably would have put up more of a fuss. So I asked her what she wanted. She said she didn't want an abortion. I mean, not abortion. She didn't want a C-section. So I pulled the little thing for the nurses to come back, the midwives. So about 6 of them came in the room, and they were trying to explain to me what they were going to do. So I told them, I said, is the baby in distress? They said, no. I said, there's nothing wrong with the baby. They said, no, there's nothing wrong. I said, how about my daughter? They said, no. I said, I'll tell you what, then here's what we're going to do. And as I'm trying to talk to them, they're busy telling me why that they have to have this C-section on her, which I already know that's a bunch of crap, because there was nothing that was impending in anybody's health. What it is they want to push these C-sections on you because there's more money involved in a C-section, okay? Now, as I'm trying to tell them that, you know, there's nothing wrong with her, you guys can wait just a little longer. You guys can wait. And not only that, but I told them to up the, I think they call it Pep-tose or Pep something. But what it does is it puts the woman in, to frequent contractions. What they were telling me was the baby's head was a certain way, and it wasn't down the birthing tube, and they wanted to perform this C-section. My daughter, I asked her one more time. I said, India, do you want a C-section? She said, no. I said, okay, well, it's done. I said, here's what we're going to do. And I basically shut them all up, and I said, here's what you're going to do. I said, you're going to give her about 3 more hours. You're going to increase the Pep-tose. I said, and you will check her then. And if the baby hasn't gone past 7 centimeters, yes, we will get the C-section because it had been a long time. So when they left the room, I gathered my son, and I gathered my daughter, my son-in-law, and my daughter, and we prayed. And I prayed to the Father everything that I read about his word in the scripture, and I told him, I said, Father, you know, basically what I told him was, your word tells us that we're your children. Your word tells us that when two or more are together in your name, you are right in the midst of us. Your word tells us that if we call out to you, you will hear our prayers, Father. And I said, one of your children, and I was speaking of my daughter, India, I said, the blessing that you have bestowed upon her and my son-in-law, I said, is in jeopardy of a cesarean, because I know those cesareans really mess up your body. I said, we need you here right now. We need this child, the blessing that you have given us, to come out the normal way. I said, Father, I asked all this in Yahushua's name. After I finished the prayer, I said, family, it's done. I said, it's done. Father's going to take care of it. So in the meantime, my daughter, they had upped the medicine on her and everything, so she fell asleep, but they were flipping her. Now, my son-in-law, he made a little bed on the floor, and I was like, oh, boy, he must be tired. So he made a little bed on the floor. I'm sitting up there praying, you know, praying to the Father, keeping in prayer the whole time, and I'm keeping an eye on everything that's going on with the monitor. So you can hear the heartbeat on the monitor, okay? You can hear the baby's heartbeat. So I happened to step out the room for a little bit. I needed some air. I went outside and prayed some more. And I was just talking to the Father. So I went back in, and it was almost time, you know, for them to do the checking. So the nurse, the midwife comes back in, and she says, okay, we'll be in here in a minute or two. We're going to go ahead and check her. So I'm sitting down. My daughter's still sleeping. My son-in-law is still sleeping. I am awake. I'm just listening, and I'm praying silently. All of a sudden, the monitor, there was no heartbeat. I didn't hear anything. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, the baby's dead, you know, because I'm running around to check out that monitor. But when I looked at that monitor, there was a lot of movement on that monitor, contractions, which meant that baby was moving itself, getting in the position it needed to be. The last, about the last minute, I would say, because after she came in at 2 minutes of the last minute, that baby had moved itself where it needed to be. They checked my daughter out. Sure enough, 10 centimeters, the baby was there and ready to be pushed out. And I tell you, me, my daughter, and my son-in-law, we just was thanking the Father and basically jumping up for joy. She had a normal delivery. She had a healthy baby of 8 pounds. I can't remember the ounces. She had him at 2:37 in the morning. He was 21 inches long, perfect. Everything is where it's supposed to be. And, I mean, both of them healthy. So, I mean, you can't get no better than that, because these people had been trying to, you know, get her dilated up to 10 centimeters. She wouldn't go past 7. The last minute, I heard that heartbeat stop on the monitor. But when I looked at the monitor, I saw the contractions. And then just before they came in, I heard the heartbeat start back up on that monitor. And then when they checked it, like I said, family, 10 centimeters. So this all happened the last minute before they came in. The Father worked his miracles, and I'm telling you, you know, sometimes I know that if you're really not into the scripture, into the words, and if you have never had the Father show you his wonders, I mean, we could read about it in the words, but unless you have, you got to have total belief on the Father's word. They tell you that in the scripture. Have faith. And see, if you have faith, what is it, a mustard seed? You can move mountains. And I already knew, after we all three got together and prayed for my daughter, and we were holding hands, she was in the bed, we were all holding hands, I already knew, it's done. Because our Father tells us that. And see, what our Father tells us in his word, who can come against that? I don't care what these doctors or whatever kind of scheme they have, what kind of agenda, whether it's to make money on a C-section, whatever. If our Father says come together in Yahushua's name, two or more together, he's right in the midst of us, that's what he's doing. If he says he's going to answer prayers, if we call upon him, if we call out to him, he's going to answer those prayers. So see, family, that is just one more way that our Father has showed us through his miracles, and I'm really hoping that when I give all these testimonies, and they're 100% true, all of them, there ain't one that I fibbed on yet, 100% true, that our family can get that strength it needs, a little bit more encouragement. When we read these words, but we know what's happening in the world today, who cares? Don't let what they're doing put fear in you, because if you got the Father with you, who can be against you? And that's the point of today's show. Today's show simply shows you that our Father has blessed that seed. Family, I want to read one more thing to you. And if anybody has a question, I'm going to let Venus get on here. Sister Venus, get on here and talk, too. We have 25 minutes left. But I just want to read this to you. Now, this is from the book of Job. Now, this is so important. This is so important. Let me just get to this real quick. I'm going to read this because you remember Job was going through a lot of hardship, family. Remember that? If you read the book of Job, it's like it's a lot of chapters. I'm on Job 37. But there's a lot said in here. Now, when you get to verse 5, it says, Yahuwah thundered marvelously with his voice. Great things doth he, which we cannot comprehend. we can't comprehend why our Father has allowed this other serpent seed to be on this earth. When we know, we see the most foul creatures sometimes do the wickedest things against our brothers, like when you see the police brutality, how they murder people. You know, Father, you know, but who are we? Who are we? Because we can't comprehend the plan that our Father has. He will use that vessel of dishonor as well as that vessel of honor. There's a goal. Go back to Romans 9 and read that, okay? Now I'm going to go a little further because there's just more in here. You know, I read these things and I thank the Father for giving it to us, giving us understanding of his word. It says, for he said it to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of Yahuwah frost is given, and by the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he weareth the thick clouds. He scatters his bright color. And it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commanded them upon the face of the whole of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of the Most High. Dost thou know when Yahuwah disposes them and causes the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieted the earth by the south wind? Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we say unto him, for we cannot utter our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speak, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passes and cleanses them. Fair weather comes out of the north, with Yahuwah is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. Let me read it again. Touching the Almighty, touching the Most High, touching Yahuwah, we cannot figure him out. Him who? The Most High. He is excellent in power and in his judgments, and in plenty of justice he will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respected not any that are wise of heart. So when we go through the scriptures and we're reading about our history within the Bible, this is our history book, and our Father is definitely telling you he got a people. He said, I'm only dealing with one nation on this earth. Those promises, the commandments, the statutes, the laws, everything, the promise, it's only given to his people. When he said that he would make us as numerous as the sands of the sea, or the stars in the heaven, or the dirt on the earth. Family, these are blessings. Who are we to question any of our children who conceive, to question any birth that is out of the ordinary? You know, I know there's some people out there, one-night standers, but who are we to say, hey, abortion? You know, because these are the traditions of these men. Sister Venus read to you guys from the book of Enoch. We let you know in the book of Enoch, the fallen angels were teaching their children these wickedness. They're still calling upon the angels, these wicked ones, to give them more technology and information. And the whole plot has always been the enmity between the two seeds. We have gone through Planned Parenthood. We have gone through a little bit of eugenics. We have gone through some of these birth control methods, which is just another repackaged way to get rid of our people. You know, I didn't read all the verses talking about how they were slaying the Hebrews, but all you got to do is open your Bible and read it. You know, that's all you got to do. The plan has never changed, but by no means Don't let this world overtake you. The evils of this world, the misteachings of this world, the traditions of men. Okay? Remember we were telling you who was sitting in Moses' seat? It wasn't Hebrew. Same people sitting in Moses' seat are sitting in world powers today and in religious systems today, making not the word of our Father truth, but what they're doing is they're making lies of his word. Okay? They're teaching you a different gospel. But the Father's word is plain and simple, and it's in his word that Jacob's seed, Abraham's seed, and Isaac's seed would be blessed as the stars of the heaven. So, family, that's all I want to say on that issue. I'm going to check with Sister Venus. I'm going to check also if anybody has anything that they would like to add at this point. Just remember, push the number one button. Sister Venus, anything you want to add?
I just want to add, I tell you what, with my experience in the past, I had natural childbirth. I didn't have my son in the hospital. It was because, though I didn't know who I was as a Hebrew at the time, my concern was, yes, a lot of the things that they do in hospitals that seem practical but actually are very unethical and against the Most High. That's the most important thing. But this trend is sweeping the nation and the world. And knowing that as a Hebrew, as an Israelite, you know, we're not of this world anyway, and we shouldn't get involved. We shouldn't even allow ourselves to get caught up. We should encourage our brothers and sisters to do the right thing, because ultimately we already know that it's an attack on us, an attack on our children, it's an attack on us as a nation of people. And you know, it's good to know that Yahuwah loves us. He said Jeremiah spoke that, you know, the Father knew him when he was being formed in his mother's womb, but he knew us the same way. Before we were born. And that means we had an identity before our parents gave us one, before our parents knew who we were. The Father knew us. You know, we were fearfully and wonderfully made by Yahuwah. No one else. I mean, you know, parents used to have a saying that they brought us into the world, they take us out. Well, you know what? We are us as women, our bodies was used as a vessel. And the men, of course, the seed that had that life, but it's Yahuwah. Nobody knows that mystery of how, when the child is formed, the ruach that is placed in that breath of life. Nobody knows that. So that is so precious. And it's very important to the Father, more than we could ever know or understand. And you have to understand as well, for those who don't value that, they're not going to value our life, because they're not from the Most High. They don't understand the things of the Father anyway. You know, if they hate Yahushua, they're going to hate us too. That's how I see it. And though we understand that it's in Scripture, it's prophetic, you know, it's more judgment on them who want to do it indirectly and use their own people as collateral damage. Let them continue to do what they do. Soon this will be over. You know, but just to encourage you not to give yourself over to these evil devices. You know, like I said, if you know you're not ready at the time, it's good to abstain. I'm not trying to get into anybody's deep personal business, because ultimately we all have to make a choice. but let's not do what obviously their people, the angels taught that wicked generation and continue on. Let's not get involved in that. You know, we're people of a higher calling. We're people set apart unto Yahuwah, chosen. We are far greater and awesome to Him, and that's the most important thing.
All right. Thank you, Sister Vetus. Thank you. Family, I'm going to look, and I'm going to bring on, I told him I'd open back up his line. Let me see if he's still there. I don't know. I don't even know if this is still him. Might be somebody new. We have about 14 minutes left. Shalom, shalom. Caller 708. Are you still there? Okay. Shalom, shalom. Okay. I don't think he's there anymore. He might take a break. Okay, well, with that said, family, we only have 13 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But as always, what I wanted to share with you guys was this message. I'm hoping that if you have family members who need to learn the truth about the agenda against our people, of destroying our people, actually killing them off, the deprogram of the population, who they're specifically trying to target and so forth, I want everybody to direct them to this show. I have additional information on our website. I didn't get even to go through some of it, but it's there. So what I will do is, if you're a member of the Biblical Hebrew Society, I'm going to go ahead and open up those show notes, and I have a couple more things I want to add to it as well. But there are links in there. There's videos in there. There's a lot of information in there. So, family, really get this information out, because this is destroying our people. And these wicked people who are doing this agenda will lie, steal, destroy, and they would definitely murder us with us while letting us do it ourselves. It's just a different repackaged program of the same agenda. So, family, with that said, I'm going to just say Shabbat Shalom to everyone, and thank you all for joining me, and I thank you all for all the nice words for my daughter and my son-in-law, her newborn baby, Zaire, and for me. So I want to thank you guys. I really appreciate that. So I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom, you guys, and I'm going to go ahead and retire. Sister Venus, can you give me a call, please?
I shall.
All right. Shalom, family.
Shabbat Shalom.